For small creatures such as we, the vastness is bearable only through love. This Carl Sagan quote is included on the very first pages of the band's last album, Endless Forms Most Beautiful, and it certainly feels like an apt quote to kick off as I speak to you all from quarantine and connect with you all around the world from right here in the UK, trusting that the vast majority of you will be in a similar situation. I really hope that you and yours are all keeping well and safe, and hopefully this podcast comes to you at a suitable time to take your mind away from the news and this really strange situation that we're finding ourselves in. This episode, as you may be pleased to hear, I'm declaring a no corona zone, and I'm banning the C word from here on out in today's episode. Although I should probably clarify, the virus C word, not the other C word that we all know very well. Although I do have it on good authority that my parents do listen to this podcast on occasion, so that word is out of question too. Today we are exploring the world of Carl Sagan and the Endless Forms Most Beautiful non-album track that is titled After the Man Himself. We will be discussing the amazing Cosmos series, a huge influence for Twelmus at the time, and Carl Sagan's impact on the world of film, one of my favourite films actually, Contact. Twelmus clearly holds Sagan as an influence on the upcoming Human Nature album too, as in a recent interview with Face Culture, he quoted Carl Sagan's words, "We are a way for the universe to know itself," when Twelmus was speaking about the existence of humanity, which is of course the main theme on the first disc of the new album. As if all that is not enough to keep you entertained, I'm exposing one of my good friends tonight, which for the very first time, and we'll be discussing how hard it is to learn English as a second language, something that the Nightwish guys and Finnish people in general make look so very easy. But let's journey now from Corona to the Cosmos. Are you guys ready? I just said Corona, didn't I? I made the rule and then I broke it. I don't know why I bother. There is something about Sagan that lifts it above so many of Nightwish's non-album tracks for me. In preparation for this episode, I'm pulling together all of the information that I had about the song. I listened to it to get me into the mood for recording, and then I listened again and again and again. I just find the song so addictive and satisfying. All the elements of what I love about Nightwish, the bombastic drama, the catchy chorus, the stunning vocals, an explosion mid-song, the gorgeous pipes and that twinkling piano in the middle eight, the earworm vocal lines. For me, this is one of the absolute highlights from the Endless Forms Most Beautiful era. I know that plenty of fans also love this song, and it seems that the band do themselves as well. I mean, one of the lyrics from Sagan actually made its way onto an official t-shirt, which is not often a bonus track can boast such a thing. So we have to address the elephant in the room having said all of that. Why was Sagan cut from the final track listing of Endless Forms Most Beautiful? The short answer is timing reasons. It was intended to be in the final track list, but with Endless Forms as we know it creeping up to the 80 minute mark already, including Sagan would have surpassed the limits of your standard CD. But why this then, and why not another song? I believe personally that it comes down to diversity. I said it literally just now, Sagan is everything I love about Nightwish, but it doesn't challenge their sound. It sits firmly in what we have come to expect from the band since probably around the Dark Passion Play era, and that's not a criticism. For a band that is perpetually pushing these new ideas, it's nice to have something familiar to fall back on from time to time. But even structurally, with Sagan's verse, chorus, verse styling, it may have felt like the more obvious fit to leave out of the final cut, since so many of the songs tried to do something a little bit more unique, either structurally or sonically. Not to mention the scientific themes were clear and in the forefront on the album. I mean, having Richard Dawkins on an album is gonna do that, let's be honest. But perhaps it felt that Sagan was a little bit too obvious lyrically. Because of its title and its clear link to Carl Sagan, interpretations may have been quite limited for listeners. unlike a lot of Nightwish's other songs, which see people connect in numerous differing ways and connect with it in their own lives. So now, having said all that, I do want to say, don't get me wrong, there are a number of songs that I personally would have shifted out to make room for Sagan. And in fact, I think it might be in my top three songs from the entire era from Endless Forms. So there's actually quite a few songs that I'd remove for it. But yeah, that's just my thinking on the reasoning why Sagan was the one that got the chart. But if anyone knows anything else, please feel free to drop me a line. Sagan was actually made available earlier than most of its session mates, since it came out on the Elan single before the album. And, well, actually nowhere else. Not only that, it still remains quite elusive on certain streaming sites to this day. It fits nicely as a gateway into the era alongside Elan on that single. This song, Sagan, puts the guitar and the band elements further forward, but it also brings more of the bombast that fans might have missed from Elan. Let's not forget too that a lot of people didn't really know what to make of Elan when it was first released, and I saw many people leaning towards this track as a result. It's a more familiar side to Nightwish, and it retains the hope that the album would have some more symphonic metal moments, but rest assured guys, Weak Fantasy was literally just waiting in the wings. What did surprise me as well in hindsight was that the tour edition of Endless Forms Most Beautiful, which was released some months after the initial album, didn't even go on to include this track. It seems that the band really were keen to give it some kind of mystique and preserve that satisfaction or frustration, depending how you view it, of tracking down a lesser known track, something that is very rare in the streaming world that we live in today. I remember only, gosh, a decade ago when people would have to buy certain editions of an album, like a Japanese import or something, to get certain songs. With streaming and with sites like Spotify, that doesn't really exist anymore. And despite the love for this track that seems to be everywhere, it hasn't been performed live, which is something that I would like to see rectified, and as such I haven't done this in a while, so I am going to line up on my computer the cheesy sound effects, and I'm going to add Sagan to my Dream Nightwish setlist. Come on guys, don't let me down. Decades Tour 2, I want to see this one on the setlist. Sagan fits beautifully within the theme of the album in the way that Endless Forms Most Beautiful honours science and the work of course, Richard Dawkins, but also Carl Sagan. So who is Carl Sagan? Far be it from me to reduce his achievements into just a few lines or sentences for this podcast, but let's go through some of his most notable and recognised works and accomplishments. It really is quite fascinating. Sagan is held in high regard for his work as an astronomer, cosmologist, astrophysicist, astrobiologist, and other natural sciences. His fame grew because of his channeling this knowledge into popular TV series and books. Firstly, we have to discuss his TV show, Cosmos. Starchild, the website, reports that this has been seen by upward of 500 million people in 60 different countries. That is insane. Cosmos, which is subtitled A Personal Voyage, was written by a team including Sagan and presented by Carl Sagan himself. And over its 13 episodes, it covers such broad subjects as the origin of life, the search for intelligent life on other planets, and even mythologies on stars. So notably, the series is really easy to digest. Science and its teachings, still to this day by many, are seen as impossibly huge concepts for the layman to understand. But Sagan and his team understood that and communicated it in a way that many could comprehend, embrace, and then start their own journeys of discovery into this amazing subject. It would be remiss of me not to mention my own personal journey into Sagan without even realizing it, via the hugely successful movie Contact. So So the 1997 film, which starred Jodie Foster, is known, well known by many around the world, but it actually originated as a screenplay written by Carl Sagan for a film that was stalled. He eventually converted that screenplay into a novel, also called Contact, but it was later reverted back to produce the film. Although tragically, it was released after Sagan's death in 96, so he would really sadly never go on to see the huge success and almost cult-like status that the film holds with many fans. So maybe it feels strange then to see a scientist, a man who's worked his entire life to understand the realities and facts of the universe, adapting to the medium of fiction and imagination. The cold hard facts certainly existed in Sagan's career. He contributed to over 600 scientific papers during his life, but why fiction? Why a screenplay of this made-up story? Perhaps, however, this is exactly why Thomas holds Sagan in such high regard. The kinship between the two of them, in that they both respect and embrace the power of imagination and utilizing their gifts of creativity to further spread the breakthroughs and knowledge and magic of these scientific discoveries. I'd hazard a guess that many fans of Nightwish learn a lot from Endless Forms Most Beautiful, so perhaps Sagan and Holopainen are more similar than we think. In an interview with Uber Rock, Thomas mentions just how deeply he fell into the works of Sagan, Dawkins and others, saying, "I strongly felt that we had to do something a bit different. I discovered authors like Carl Sagan, Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens and Brian Cox, and for a couple of years I didn't read anything else. I found it so inspiring and I saw it as a good way to connect all the people in the band. I knew they had also become interested in this and thought alike. Not everyone in Nightwish is so keen on fairy tales and Tolkien, but we all had a mutual respect for this subject matter, and everyone played their parts with big smiles on their faces. Songs about evolution, songs about religion, this was stuff we could all get enthused about." Floor also said that she wasn't surprised by the subject matter on the album. She said, "In fact, it made total sense to me and I could identify with it, almost as if I had been the one coming up with the ideas." Thomas echoed similar sentiments when speaking with Gigview as well. He said, "I've always been very fascinated about science, especially biology. I even studied that for 6 months at university. The interest has always been there. Then, a few years ago, I really got heavily immersed in that stuff again, by Charles Darwin, Carl Sagan, Richard Dawkins, Brian Cox. It just inspired me a lot. I figured that Nightwish had always been about fantasy and escapism, really personal stuff, so maybe we should explore the other end of the spectrum for once and do an album about the magic of reality and science. That's the underlying theme of the whole album." During this album's era, we heard a lot from Troy and Thomas about their own reflections on people like Sagan and Dawkins. So I was really, really interested and fascinated to see that Metal Chest of Wonders asked Marco whether he felt Sagan was an influence on himself, and he replied, "Yes, I mean, Thomas has been reading Sagan as well. My touch to Carl Sagan is probably the film Contact, and I haven't read that much Dawkins. I used to be big on astronomy and books about stars and how they were born from hydrogen clouds and then burst to flame and melt down to give the atoms that are now in my hands. They're billions of years old and born in the heart of stars. That's pretty miraculous." But yeah, he's probably also a big influence for Thomas. All things considered, I am not the right person to school you guys on the amazing life of Carl Sagan, but these are just two links that I found really interesting and linked really nicely with Nightwish. And we'll also get onto a third one a little bit later on, but I really implore you guys, if you enjoy the work of such people as Neil deGrasse Tyson, who revived the Cosmos series more recently, or here in the UK and Europe, Brian Cox, a really talented English physicist who shares a passion for making the wonders of science accessible to everyone, then you really should read up even more on Carl Sagan, and hopefully you'll find his life and his achievements as fascinating and as inspiring as I did. Sagan, the track, links in with the rest of the album, not only lyrically, but also sonically. There is a fierce, crushing wave of an explosion that approaches before the second chorus, and that's not too dissimilar from some of the epic sound effects that are incorporated into The Greatest Show on Earth, for example. And then there is the lyrics. So if Thomas's love for Sagan hadn't been any more clear, this time he puts it front and center. The enormity of the universe is expressed in the very first verse, "Bring the vast unthinkable down to earth." And that's preceded by "Spark the light of doubt and a newborn mind," an invitation to challenge our own thoughts on reality and the world that we live in. And later, Floor sings, "A limitless world will rise. Son of man, dare to let go of the cowardice," encouraging us to not be afraid to question and to explore new ideas and theories. And then in a kind of weaving of Tuomas and the scientists into the same narrative, we have the lyric, "Entering the unknown, sending all the poets to the stars." And rekindling, the idea of the album, it explores the beauty of reality and the fantastic sights and everyday miracles that are all around us within nature. The inspiration in existence and evolution that comes through in many artists' work, including here in Nightwish, they are the poets that are singing of the findings of these scientists and researchers. I mentioned that one of Sagan's lyrics was immortalized on a lovely t-shirt that they put out showing a ship sailing off the edge of some kind of waterfall, and it's accompanied by the lyric, and it's my favorite lyric from the song, "Woe to all who stop at the horizon." So in keeping with the album's theme of plucking magic from science and from reality, this lyric could not be any more inspiring. Don't stop striving and achieving just because you've reached a goal or because someone told you that's as far as you can go. If we stopped at the horizon, we never would have discovered the wonders of the galaxy. So you don't need to become an astronaut. Within our own lives, the lyric rings true for many of us. Why stop at what we think we're capable of when we quite often can and will go on to surprise even ourselves? I find the lyrics here in this song so powerful, and out of all of the songs from the Endless Forms era, this one speaks to me the most. It feels inspiring and liberating, and it makes me feel really passionate when I speak about it. I truly hope that loads of fans have made the effort to check this song out, because it really does deserve the love, and I see online quite a few people don't even know it exists, so it's really nice to see many of them discovering it. But I hope that anyone listening, and if you haven't heard it already, I'm surprised you got this far into the podcast, but you really, really should seek it out and have a listen. But in fact, we can measure how much it is loved if we check out the Reddit knockout, something that we do every episode. And they did do a knockout specifically for bonus tracks, including songs such as Sagan. So let's have a look. The song finished on that Reddit knockout. So there's 15 songs that entered, and Sagan finished in 7th place. So fairly middling score, but not an easy pack of songs to surpass sitting ahead of it. So I can see why fans might put this a little bit further down than others. But for me, I just can't get enough of this song. And I'm sure my positivity for this track is coming through, so I hope this is not too overbearing. When I thought about possible ideas for future episodes, one thing I've always wanted to do is get new listeners on board and listening to Nightwish. So the band are so special to so many of us, that there's some kind of secondhand joy to be gained from seeing others fall in love with them. Hence why, for example, the Floorgasm YouTube trend was so engaging for us fans to watch. I mean, I don't usually bother with reaction videos, but I still devour plenty from the trend of people watching Floor sing Ghost Love Score and just going crazy for it. I wanted in this episode to get my good friend Matthew Liu involved and to have him listen to the band for the very first time. So I met Matt a few months ago. He has come to the UK to study from China, and I thought that Sagan, with its straightforward structure and Nightwish by the book stylings, it would be a nice gateway for him to get into the band and to listen to them. So not only that, but Matt is also studying English as his second language, and as many of us can appreciate, it's a bitch of a language to learn. So I wanted to get into his mindset around that too, and just to see if it mirrors any of the experiences that the band might have had conducting in English, which is of course their second language, but albeit one that they learn from a very, very young age. But anyway, over to Past Me as we skip back to New Year's Day 2020 and Matthew Liu's first experience of Nightwish. I'm here with my good friend and international student from China, Matt Liu, who has kindly agreed to be on today's episode with me. We also have a bit of an audience as our friends Jared and Matt, the man behind the podcast graphics, are here watching in and wandering around the house. Jared also talks a lot, so you might hear him chatting and laughing in the background, but I will try and quieten it down in the edit. So Matthew, thank you so much for being on the podcast with me.
Hi, I'm Matthew. Nice to meet you guys.
So before recording this, Matt had a first listen of Nightwish, and in particular, this episode's focus song, Sagan. So not necessarily a song that's often used to introduce people, as it is quite a rarity in the Nightwish discography. So I'm really interested, Matt, as to what you thought about the song when you listened to it.
Okay, firstly, I really love this song. The reason why is that the melody of this song makes me feel really, really excited. And I feel I'm full of strength when I hear it. And the voice of the lead singer is sonorous and forceful, which is my preference.
I love the word sonorous. That's not a word that I think I've ever used on the podcast. Yeah, so the vocalist on this song is Floor. So we spoke yesterday. So Matt stayed with us last night. It's actually, we're recording this on New Year's Day. So Matt was with us yesterday and we were listening to some Nightwish, and you remembered the second singer, but you pronounced her name a little bit differently. Do you remember the previous singer?
Annette.
Annette. Yeah. So cute. So most people will pronounce it Annette. But the singer on this song is Floor. Like the floor that we're sat on. We're sat on the floor right now. So as I mentioned at the top of this segment, Matt is actually learning English as a second language. So I'm interested to see what you thought of the lyrics to Sagan and the meaning behind the song.
I think the meanings of the song is not really easy to understand. It's not like the normal romantic song, because you can understand what the writers want to express in those romantic songs. But for this song, it's more like it used a lot of metaphors, and probably it's a little bit hard to understand for a new learner of English.
Okay.
So as I see, for example, the poet, I think it represents some big dreams and hopes of some people, and they cannot fulfill easily in their lives.
So Nightwish, in a lot of their lyrics, mention the poet, and I think it does represent what you say. So a lot of the time, the guy who writes the lyrics, he's called Thomas, and he refers to himself as the poet. So I think that it's a really good reading. But didn't you also have a reading about...
So the whole sentence is with understanding, no poet is trapped.
Yeah.
I think it means like to tell people not to mock and to understand the other people's dreams and hopes, and because everyone have different dreams, because they have their own reasons to have it, so we cannot to laugh at it. It's not polite.
Yes, very true. Yeah. Very true. And as you know, living in Britain, being polite is one of the most important things.
Yeah,
you have a really unique perspective for the podcast, more so than any other guest that I've had on, because like I said, you're also learning English as a second language, like the guys in Nightwish. So they're actually from Finland, which is where they were born, and it is actually learned in Finland. English is learned from a much younger age. But I still really wanted to get your perspective on learning English, especially a little bit older. So what do you think the hardest part is about learning English, and where do you think the guys in Nightwish might have struggled?
Well, for me, I learned English is like when I realized we cannot just only memorize and understanding the English on the book, because it's a total different language. Because we don't do that when we learn Chinese when we're kids. We just use it in lives. And so I think learning English, the best way to learn English is to drown yourself in the English surrounding, and you have to feel those meaning of the words. Because as far as I know, there is some expression in English doesn't exist in Chinese, do not exist, so you cannot translate it into Chinese or translate Chinese into some English. Because I think language is generated from the culture of the country, so it's really complicated to say that you can translate everything. I mean, you cannot translate everything Chinese into the English. So if you want to learn English very well, you have to feel like you have to learn it in the same way as we learn Chinese when we are children.
No, that's great. And I think that you touched on a really important idea, in that Nightwish are from Finland, and a lot of Finns, I think, would appreciate the fact that they can be quite melancholic. So a lot of their music and their art is very almost downbeat and quite sad. And that definitely comes through in Nightwish's music as well. So I guess that's everything I had to ask you. But thank you so much for being on the podcast. Do you think you'll listen to some more Nightwish now?
Oh yeah, sure, I love it because of your recommend.
Yeah. Okay, so everyone in the comments needs to let me know which song we should get Matthew to listen to next. He's already listened to Sagan, and I think that's it. So yeah, let me know which ones you think he'll like. I'm sure you'll all just say Ghost Love Score.
Sagan, as you will have been able to sense, is a song that I really, really love, and it's been a pleasure to dig deeper into the story and the influences behind Thomas's writing of it. So thank you also to my lovely friend Matthew Liu for joining us and giving us his own unique view on Nightwish from the eyes of a fresh listener. Do let me know if there are any other songs I should play for him and we can get his reaction in a future episode. You can always reach me on Instagram. The handle is podcastpendulum, or you can send me an email at thepodcastandthependulum@gmail.com. Quite a long email address. I didn't think that through, did I? But you can send me any ideas for future episodes. If you want to feature in an episode, reach me on one of the two and I'd be super happy to have you on board. If Floor Jansen is listening and she wants to be on an episode, I'm sure I can manage it, Floor. I know you're probably a very devoted fan to the podcast. You can be on it if you want to. But I do want to finish slightly differently today. And rather than my usual spiel, which is still correct, I'm not affiliated with Nightwish, Nuclear Blast, Spine Farm, Drakkar, any of them in any way. And I still will be posting on Wednesdays. But I found this really beautiful quote that some of you may already be familiar with from Carl Sagan himself, called The Pale Blue Dot. A few weeks ago, we discussed Troy's solo work and a song featuring Thomas called Now Voyager. And Troy introduced this better than I ever could. He said, "On a daily basis, I am moved and staggered by the beauty of this world, on what Carl Sagan called the pale blue dot."
From this distant vantage point, the Earth might not seem of any particular interest. But for us, it's different. Consider again that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives. The aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident religions, ideologies, and economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there, cloud of dust, suspended in a sunbeam. The Earth is a very small stage in a vast cosmic arena. Think of the rivers of blood spilled by all those generals and emperors, so that in glory and triumph they could become the momentary masters of a fraction of a dot. Think of the endless cruelties visited by the inhabitants of one corner of this pixel on the scarcely distinguishable inhabitants of some other corner. How frequent their misunderstandings, how eager they are to kill one another, how fervent their hatreds. Our posturings, our imagined self-importance, the delusion that we have some privileged position in the universe, are challenged by this point of pale light. Our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. In our obscurity, in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. The Earth is the only world known so far to harbor life. There is nowhere else, at least in the near future, to which our species could migrate. Visit? Yes. Settle? Not yet. Like it or not, for the moment, the Earth is where we make our stand. It has been said that astronomy is a humbling and character-building experience. There is perhaps no better demonstration of the folly of human conceits than this distant image of our tiny world. To me, it underscores our responsibility to deal more kindly with one another and to preserve and cherish the pale blue dot, the only home we've ever known.